through what I've been through, you know, with my OCD and the suffering I've been through, was able to, for me to get, you know, in the type of mindset of something. And I guess my imagination, I just knew the direction. I had these two choices and I chose this direction. I thought, man, this is going to be great. And so I was just able to, I guess, put myself in, you know, in that situation and in that life and write it.
The author of Fractured Realities, and my buddy, my spiritual brother, and a bit of a guide, Craig Steele. Thanks for jumping on this bonus episode.
Hey, man, I'm glad to be back. Thank you for inviting me again.
Yeah, well, and to give people some insight, so Craig sends me this awesome daily devotional. I do talk about it openly, obviously exploring my spirituality, but Christianity is my belief, and so I get these wonderful things that challenge me every day. So it's a real blessing that that came out of it. So I'm really grateful for you for that.
I appreciate it. It's a compliment. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Well, we're going to get into the book here, and I normally don't read things, but it's such a wonderfully written, detailed description of your book, a gripping psychological thriller. You got Dr. Addie Hansen, a brilliant psychiatrist, finds herself trapped in a web of mystery and suspense, married to a successful attorney who is constantly absent, and Addie seeks comfort in an illicit affair, but her secret rendezvous intensify, and boy, life turns sinister. Like, I mean, this is just the first line of it. And getting to know you, you know, when I dug into this and you sent me the awesome trailer for the book, I was not expecting it initially from you. But then I thought about our conversation that we had the first time, and I'm going to put the links in the description for the YouTube audio podcast for people to hear more of Craig's story and your struggles with really extreme OCD. So I want to ask you, did that become an advantage in this process?
As far as writing the book?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. You know, I mean, I learned determination, you know, not to give in to the OCD and to overcome things. So trying to tackle a book, you know, like that, it gave me the discipline and everything. And I believe it was, you know, learning to manage it helped me to push through and write my book.
Yeah. Well, we were talking before we start. Yeah, totally. We were talking before we hit the record button that, you know, what was it, 4 or 5 years ago or so, you had essentially, I can very much compare it to a relapse as an addict with your OCD. It was debilitating. I mean, it was ruling your life.
Yeah, it was prior to 4 years ago. I went through 5 years of constant. I mean, it was tremendous amount of suffering. I mean, I went through medications after medications, went through several doctors to try to get it under control. And I finally did. I didn't quit. You know, I felt like it sometimes, you know, I mean, we just got to be so just every day, constantly, you know, and every night, just tremendous amount of suffering. But I kept pushing forward and didn't give up, and finally got, you know, a good doctor that gave me the right medication. And I got my momentum going, and again, learn to manage it and put it in a remission.
Yeah. Do you draw any parallels for this ability to, I mean, cause the book, you know, it's vivid. I mean, you know, Addie's world spirals out of control. She becomes entangled in a dangerous game of cat and mouse. Do you find that same brain with your OCD, that it can be very vivid imagination,
right?
Is my understanding from what you shared.
I have a very vivid imagination, you know, and I've always had these books I want to write. I just didn't know how to write a book.
Mm.
And so I had the idea, and I gave the dedicated the book to Tommy Warren, an amazing man. I mean, he's been in the film industry, just an amazing guy. And he kept telling me, Craig, just write your book, you know. And I kept trying to read books. So how do I? I've never wrote a book. You know? Finally, he kept saying, just tell your story. And I started telling it. But, you know, I guess with the detail, you know, a lot of people, it's very descriptive. I don't think it's over the top descriptive, but I like for people to feel like they're involved in the story when I'm telling it. And that might come from a little OCD of wanting to be, you know, to make sure that you're in the moment, you really, you know, understand what I'm trying to say and grasp it.
Yeah, but that's a great thing, I think, you know, because one of my favorite writers, John Steinbeck, that I grew up with, I noticed that when I send people some things, it's kind of a pain in the ass because if you know Steinbeck, he did a brilliant job in one chapter. He described the whole setting, and then the next chapter is the characters and how it plays out in that setting. And but for me, it's helpful. I like to have a vivid world painted for me. I like to be immersed in something. You know, I have a brain that I need that kind of a break from things when I when I'm checking something out.
Yeah, because that was the thing. I wanted, like I say, I wanted people to feel when they were reading it like they were actually, you know, involved in the story, like they're going through it, you know. And it's like when like Tommy told me to tell my story. When I tell stories, I like to be descriptive, you know. I want to like, what's the weather like, and this and that, you know, and go all around telling it. So that's just how I did it. That's just how I told my story, and it's I'm getting into good feedback off of it.
So I got to ask about the digging in, because I can relate to this, to the, well, I don't know how to write, and going down that rabbit hole of learning how to write until someone tells you, just write.
Yeah. I mean, there's really, I learned there's no such thing as bad writing, just rewrites. You know, I mean, there's really no set standard of how to write. You know, I found that it's liberating once you find your own way of doing it. And how I found out to do it, to be honest with you, is I started out trying to write on paper. And it was very, very, my handwriting is terrible. I was, you know, my mind would outrun my hand and, you know, just all that stuff. And so I couldn't type. I don't know how to type. So I would get on my phone. And I, you know, everybody texts. I'm so used to being on my phone, I can text fast. But I was like, hey, man, wait a minute. So I got on my notes on my phone. And that's how I wrote my book, was off my phone and my notes on my iPhone.
Really?
Is that because I could sit down and be used to thinking while I'm texting. I could text fast. So I got on my notes just to take notes. But I started writing it. And I found that that's how I do it. You know, I write, and I'm on my 98% finished with my other book. And that's how I write my books, is on my iPhone, on my notes.
So are you actually texting it out, or are you dictating and then kind of going back and amending?
No,
or?
No, I'm texting. I'm just sitting there just telling my story, which I get the, you know, I get the skeleton down, and I have to go back and redo it and redo it. You know, then I print it out. But once I do it, it's already like typed, you know? And so then I go back and look it over and look it over and add things. But if I'm at a doctor's appointment, or if I'm waiting at something, you know, at work, I can sit there and I can work on my story. You know, if I'm in a plane or whatever it is, I can work on it. So that's just my way of doing it. Like I say, there is no set standard. You know, you read all these books about how to write a book. And I'm so glad that Tommy gave me that advice, because I found my own way of writing, and I've got my way of doing it now, you know?
Yeah. I was going to ask you if you got some terrible advice on the writing.
No, I mean, are you talking about trying to tell me how to do it? People
yeah.
trying to give me advice? Well,
yeah.
Not really, man. Is that, you know, I would talk to Tommy, because I talked to Tommy about a lot of things, you know, and I would mostly go to him for advice. And he just kept telling me, Craig, there's, you know, quit reading on how to do it and listening to other people and just tell your story. And so I would have friends that love to write, but they've never published anything because they get caught up in the details. Like, I'm trying to think of the names of the character. And for me, I change the names 3 or 4 times in it, because I just write a name of reference. I don't put the exact name of who's down there. I just put Bob, you know, because I don't get hung up in the details like that. You'll get, you know, frustrated. So I just found my way. I just started writing it. I mean, just like if I was going to tell you a story, that's just how I would type it, telling the story. I mean, that's my way of doing it.
Right.
You know?
What kind of a mental space do you have to get in? Or is it kind of when inspiration comes? I know some people are very diligent that they're just like, hey, this is the amount of time I'm going to X out, and I'm going to sit and I'm going to focus on it and get something done, or when I'm inspired. And the reason I ask that is that when I first really dug into my recovery 3 years ago, my sponsor at the time was just like, no, you're going to have this set time. You're going to sit down, you're going to read the big book, and you're going to follow exactly what I need you to do to start getting this going. Much like how Tommy was like, dude, just write, just go.
Right. I mean, as far as how I get inspired to write my stories, I have a very good imagination. And actually, this book right here, and I don't want to go into details about personal stuff, but I was actually in the shower. And to get the idea of this show, and this is honest, I put, by the time I put, there's something that happened earlier that day. And by the time I've had shampoo on my hand, because I know I'm bald headed, but I still use shampoo. By the time I put shampoo on my head and did like this and did my head and rinse it out, I pretty much came up with this story. It just, I don't know how I thought that fast about it. I didn't have it all how it was exactly going to be, but I came up with the inspiration for this story. And it hits me like that, like with other books. I'm going down the road thinking, and it just comes to me.
Yeah.
You know, so I had like other books I'm writing, you know, it's just, it's the same way.
I hear that a lot from people, and I certainly do have those moments of, you know, shower or other things in the restroom, so to speak. And you're in such an interesting, or driving for that matter. Lots of times,
yeah, a lot of drive, yeah.
We'll go into kind of a subconscious mode while driving, you know, especially for guys like us, you know, we're over 30. We've been doing it for quite a few years. It's, you know, reactionary or whatever it is that it, you seem to have a clear space to explore those thoughts and ideas. You know, it's an aloneness, really, I think. Yeah. It's an aloneness with yourself, your mind, your body, everything else.
Yeah, it's just the way I have a good memory is that I don't ever take notes or anything because this is my way of doing it, but I'll think of the story and then I just let it unfold and think of possibilities, you know, of how, and when I'm writing, I go back and change things that don't fit in. I just come up with a basic story of how it's going to be. I might not even know exactly how the ending's going to be. I just know the basic concept of it. And as I'm writing it, you know, I know this sounds crazy, but I picture it in my mind like bridges. Like I have one part of it that I want to work toward and I struggle toward that point. I'm like, okay, I got there. Then I think about the next point and then I go there, but always arcing it toward, you know, what I want the ending to try to be. And that's just how my mind frame is I don't try to look at the overall book. I've taken in segments of, okay, I'm gonna get that connecting dots. Like, okay, this is the point in the first chapter I want to work toward. Okay, that's what I'm gonna concentrate on. And then the next point, I'm gonna go from that point to the next point. And that's just how I visualize it in my head, you know, of doing it, but always keeping in the context of working toward the end. And I'll think about it in the big scope of it, but I have it broke down in little segments of working toward that next segment. And it doesn't complicate it. It makes it easier thinking like that. You don't get overwhelmed. You're just like, all right, man, right now I'm just going to work toward this other segment, you know?
I think that's a really great way to approach any type of goal. And I've not thought of it that way, like little bridges. That I'm a visual person. That's a wonderful visual that maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's a fitness goal, right? I mean, I know for me, I start and stop things really quick because it's like, all right, I want to get into like a boxer type of shape. And it's like, oh, I can't hit the speed bag. Well, you know, I got to remember I can't hit the speed bag today.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, I boxed and that was the same thing, you know, is that, you know, when I take people and of course, you know, people look at different fighters and they say, oh man, they make it look easy. I better go to the gym in 3 months, look like that. I'm like, no, you know, it's a very long process of going A, B, C, D, you know, you just don't jump to a heavy bag. But back to writing is, I don't know. I didn't really have a set way of doing it. That's just the way when I went to do it, and I'm visualizing it because I would be like, okay, and this part right here, man, I want to really write about getting to this point. You know, I want to describe this. So when I get there, I'm like, okay, I accomplished that. Now the next part. And it's just how I did it, you know?
Yeah.
How I continue to do it.
What kind of personal stamp did you really put from your own life in there? If I can, like, a little snippet, I don't want to give the book away to people, but what were some things that you drew on?
Well, I mean, it actually put me in a weird spot, to be honest with you, writing this book. It was a psychological thriller, very deep and kind of twisted. It put me in a weird space. And I knew that I was writing good because I called Tommy one night and I was at my dad's watching football or something and I was working on it, a real weird part. And when I came home, I felt spooky in my house. And I told Tom, I said, you know, you're writing good. If you know you wrote it and you're feeling spooky going in your house, you know, and he started laughing. But yeah, just getting into the book, I would just get into it, you know, and try to really get into the character's mindset. And I don't want to give it away, but to get into it and in that world. And it just put me in a weird spot. It really did, a weird feeling for a while, you know, of how I want to be.
I do. I know exactly what you mean. I have moments of that where if I think back to some past things and, you know, even my transgressions, you know, like the spiritual challenge that has been put in front of me, sometimes my vivid imagination will even run. So I know what you're talking about for sure.
In the book I'm writing right now is a romance love story. Huh. I mean, I know I went from this psychological thriller, this weird stuff to this, but, you know, I have a broad array of interest, but it's based on an old relationship of mine, the emotions in it. It's completely two totally different characters, everything, but it's the emotions that I want to write about. I'm really enjoying this one because it doesn't put you in that weird spot, you know, of a weird dark place, but it's I'm enjoying writing this one.
Sure.
And then I've already got the sequel planned for the first one that I wrote. So when I finish this one, I'm going back and I'm writing the sequel to the Fractured Realities.
How did you start to develop the main character of Dr. Addie Hansen?
I don't want to give it away because you have to understand the book to really understand the character. But there were two, I can't give away the book because if I tell, there was two different ways this book was going to go when I first thought of it.
Mm.
And I'm glad I picked this second one, the second route. And so I can't really explain the characters because I don't want to give away anything. I mean, it would give it away, but, and it's a very personal thing of how I came up with this storyline, but, you just got to read it. Then I'll have to tell you about it. You know, I can read it because I can't really tell you without giving away the story. It's got a good, very good twist at the end.
All right. Well, the reason that I ask is because I know, you know, I mean, as men, it can often be very challenging to step into a character with, you know, a thriller, and it's a psychological thriller. So we're obviously getting into the mindset of this doctor, this woman. That's a really challenging place to go to. I mean, I just, if somebody went, hey, write a psychological thriller, main character is a woman, I would be like, ooh, this is a challenge that I'm not sure how to face right now. And that's why
I guess, going through what I've been through, you know, with my OCD and the suffering I've been through was able to, for me to get, you know, in a type of mindset of something. And I guess my imagination, I just knew the direction. I had these two choices and I chose this direction. I thought, man, this is going to be great. And so I was just able to, I guess, put myself in, you know, in that situation and in that life and write it. I don't know, you know, how to really explain it.
No, that's okay. I kind of understand. Sometimes we just, we have these moments where clarity comes, you know?
Well, I mean, when I started writing it, it became clear. I mean, it really, as I was writing, it became very easy because the thoughts just came to me. The ideas just kept flowing. And I started really getting into this book and really writing and getting into the character and the different characters in it, and knew what I was wanting to do. And it became fairly easy. It's just, like I say, it put me in a dark spot. You know, I really, even when I finished it and I went over and over and over, then I got it to my editor, you know, even when I had to go back and do revisions, I was like, man, I don't feel like revisiting. You know what I mean? Like, I was glad I finally come out of that space. Now I got to go back and revisit and do some little things in it, you know, and stuff like that. It, you know, it was that way, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's incredibly relatable. It took me a long time, Craig, to get really comfortable with a lot of the dark things that occurred in my addiction and or life, to be able to keep them close, so to speak, to keep me on the right path. So I couldn't imagine the part where it's the imagination and sinking yourself into this world, that I would think there's some trepidation. I can see why you want to do a romance-based book before you go back to this character. And
really, honestly, really, it is. I'm kind of like excited about writing the second one because it's going to be different, but it's still going to be a very psychological twist to it. I'm excited about it, but then I'm also like, I know where I got to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's tough. The romance, when it's just fun to write because this is a very psychological, thrilling suspense book. You know, this Fractured Realities. This right here is more of just, you know, telling this story and just, you know, this great thing that ends up being a great thing, you know? And so it's a relief. It's not as near as tough.
Yeah.
Cause you have to, in this book, I had to think kind of twisted, you know, I mean, it was, you could to think like that. And it was very like in a dark spot. And people are like, why do you want to write that? But I was like, because I like those kind of movies. You know, I like those kind of books. I like things with psychological thrillers and this kind of stuff. So I wanted to write it, you know, and it's a kind of an expression, I guess, of the dark side, you know, of whatever, telling it. But I wanted people to read it because I believe they would truly enjoy it, you know, the suspense, you know, and everything, and what the ending is happening. So I was excited about writing it, but it was just getting in there to tell the story, you know, and getting the mindset. That's what was tough.
Well, and I think some darkness can dwell in all of us. I mean, it's a scary place to go. Was there ever any moments after the fact that it's like, oh my gosh, this is what I've written, what I've penned. Like, where did that come from? That kind of a self-exploration?
No, not necessarily. I didn't look at it like that because, you know, I've always known I'm a deep person. At times I can be very deep and, you know, that. But it was a more of after I read the book going, wow, I mean, this is a great book. You know, I mean, you wrote this. You know, it was kind of – it was a relief to get out of it, you know, to be done with it, you know. But it was also like what I've created, you know, is that, you know, and I wanted to write it actually. Man, I wish I could tell you more about it. But I wanted to write it to where when the person's reading it, they go on this journey too. You know what sure. I mean? They're going down this journey of figuring out what's going on in this mystery. I wanted people to feel it. And so I try to pick the words and the going through, you know, the sources, you know, different things and trying to just find the right words to, you know, capture what I'm trying to say.
Do you feel that writing is like a perfect craft for your mind? And I mean that from, you know, you, again, people go back, click those links in the description here, Craig. I mean, you lay out very clear where your OCD through childhood and the challenges that it is, but that this is a perfect outlet for you.
Yeah. I mean, I would take it as, it's a good outlet. And it's different because I never thought I'd better write a book. So it's something that's, you know, when I'm doing it, and to be honest with you, I'm not a lover of writing. I'm not ever been a person that's like to sit down and write. That wasn't my thing. And so it is kind of a chore sometimes, you know, to set time aside and work at it. It's not something I truly enjoy, but I know it sounds kind of a contradiction. Irony is I'm like writing it, but I don't, have to like particularly having to sit down and do that, but it's the, you get into it. You know what I mean? Yeah. And you start telling it as you look back and you see the story and the words you pick and it, you know, it come out of your head. It's rewarding, you know, and then you want other people to experience it.
I think it's one of those, tell me if this resonates with you, like a have to, like I have to. Lately, I've been uncovering more of the trauma that sits in my body. And so I've been digging into what's called like a yin yoga, and I'm noticing I'm more relaxed. My anxiety is getting much better. And it's uncomfortable, but I have to do it. Like I still have something in my brain that I have to do it. Like I texted you the other day, hey, please keep sending me the spiritual readings every day. It's become a huge part of my life. It's not always comfortable to see those things that are in the message thread that you send me with a bunch of other amazing gentlemen reading it as well. But I have to do it because I see how it enhances my life. I see how it pulls me into a better mental, emotional, and definitely a better spiritual state. So it's a lot of these have to's, regardless of the discomfort.
Right. Well, it's just like anything else. You know what I mean? If you're wanting to be in shape and get big, of course, you don't enjoy working out. You know, it's really, I work out a lot and I can tell you I don't enjoy any of it. But it's, you know, the outcome of it, you know, you're going to feel better. You're going to look better. Achieve these goals that you have to go through this, you know, this discomfort. And I guess it's the same as writing a book. I want to get it out there and tell my story. And it's just the discomfort of having to sit down and really take time out and do it, you know?
Yeah.
If that's a good analogy.
No, it's perfect. Like, I don't like, you know, hey, I'm going to be watching it. You know, I'm a Tyson guy. Got that fight coming up with Logan Paul, or is it? Yeah, it's Jake Paul, right? Jake Paul.
Yeah,
I don't think Mike wants to be in the gym at, what is he, 62 now?
I think Mike's around 58 because Evander is 61. So Mike's 57 or 58.
Okay. I don't think he probably wants to be in there hitting the speed bag and, you know, doing all the gloves and everything else with the coach, but he don't want to look a fool in there. And it's just
and I can tell you, he don't want to be in the ring getting hit. If anybody ever tells you, I like being in the ring getting hit, needs to have a good psychological evaluation because there's nothing pleasant about being in the ring and getting hit. You know, it's the thrill of the fight and over, you know, other things. But to use your example, correct. You know, he don't want to be in the gym at that age, but he has to do what he has to do to better, you know, perform like he wants to.
Well, I think, you know, tell me if I'm wrong, and it sounds like the training, you know, that you did in the ring and even on your mind and your spirit really plays a good hand in the success of getting this book written and putting it out and everything else?
Yeah, you know, boxing taught me a lot of stuff. It taught me to, you know, not quit and to keep going. And through life, even through my suffering of pushing and, you know, keep going and just a good work ethic and struggling, you, like I say, you get the momentum going and there's just, you know, that's just, I don't quit. I don't stop until I achieve what I want to achieve. You know, if people tell me no, you know, you can't do it, it just inspires me more because I know that I can do it. You know, it might not be today, it might not be tomorrow, but I'll find a way of doing it. And so I'm just used to not quitting. If I'd have quit a long time ago, I'd have been in bad shape.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Let me ask you about kind of the dichotomy of Craig. You know, you're this very tough looking guy and you do challenge and you've done a lot for youth and in challenging them. But you seem to have this love side to you. Is this where the love, the next book, the romance comes from?
Yeah, you know, I mean, people look at you and say you box and did this, and they try to judge, you know, you're this mean-looking guy. But, yeah, I do have a caring side about me and a loving side, you know what I mean, of course. And that's the side I want to show. I'm not, you know, a lot of writers are, you know, they get stereotyped. That's just their genre. It's like you read Tom Clancy, it's going to be military, John Grisham, attorney. There's a variety of things I can write about because, again, it's to me, self-expression. And so when I feel this emotion come on me, you know, of how I felt towards someone, I've learned, you know, I'm going to write about it. I'm going to tell a story, you know, and so I'm going to use this emotion and build a story around it, you know, and do like that. So to answer your question, yes, you know, I do have that side to me, you know, and it shocks a lot of people when they meet me, you know, that I'm like that. I'm a caring person, everything. But, you know, yes. And I'm proud to have that, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, are you like the flowers and chocolate guy and you know, hold the door open, all those things?
No, nah, I mean, I you know, I don't go overboard with that kind of stuff. You know, I'm not, you know, I look at it like this 2024, man, people, women run for president, you know, but I'm just kidding. But no, I mean, you know, I do have a side to me that's affectionate and stuff like that, you know, of course.
Sure.
Now, do I go overboard and pull the chair out every time? And, you know, no. You know, but I do have a side to him that's very caring and I like that. Yeah.
It's just, it's interesting as the more I get to know you, that's a side that you're going to explore and put out there writing. And I would think being an independent writer, that's really freeing. Like you said, you know, Tom Clancy, but you know, unless he writes under a pseudonym, no one's going to buy a romance novel from Tom Clancy.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and like Stephen King, what I like about him, you know, I mean, there's a lot of shows and books that he wrote that you never thought he wrote. Like, you know, you read The Shining and all this stuff, but then he writes, you know, Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
You know, then he writes, I think it was Leno Stand By Me that was in the 80s, you know, then The Green Mile. You know, it's just they're all got a little weirdness to them, but that's just his, you know, he can write a different variety of things.
Yeah, no,
so
great point.
Me feeling like I'm, you know, and I consider myself well-rounded. Is that different aspects of my life. I'm interested in some I like more than others, but there are different parts of my life that when I feel that way, I'd like to, you know, make a story out of it.
Yeah.
And express it that way, you know?
Yeah. Let me ask you a question, because you do have some connections. So if somebody, because one of my favorite sci-fi movies of all time is Total Recall, and it's, God, I'm drawing a blank on the name of Dick Harrison, I can't remember, but it's a short story that it's based on. Like, it's not even called Total Recall, but it's a brilliant kind of like start. And you have that here with Fractured Realities.
Right.
So being that you have some of these connections, if there was to be a movie or TV show, do you have like actors maybe in mind or a director or directors that you think could?
Sure.
Really,
yes, I do. I do. And actually, it's funny because me and my entertainment attorney were actually submitting today to agents and everything and just different things to try to get this made into a movie. Because I mean, I believe it'd be an excellent, excellent movie. And so we're actually working on it and having, by Wednesday, we're sending it out and submitting it, you know, to try to get it made into a movie.
Right.
Yeah,
on.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I already have in mind. Do
that's
what?
Yeah, of go ahead. I want
to know. Of course, when you pitch, you know, movies, you're not going to pitch it to a director that does comedy or, you know, a producer. You got to pick it to the person. And I have it in mind with a similar type movies, you know, that they've done and screenwriters will try to get it to. because I think it would be an excellent movie, you know. And it's not a long read; it's a novella, it's a short novel, and I wrote it there for several reasons. Tommy Warren actually is the one that recommended that, saying instead of trying to tackle this massive novel for your first write, why don't you write a shorter novel, you know, and it won't be so daunting of a task. But then I thought about the plus sides to it too, is that being a first time writer, people are kind of reluctant to read 250, 300 pages from a guy that, or spend $17 or $20. Yeah. But hey man, I'll read a short novel, you know what I mean? And it's only $5.99 paperback. You know, that's no money. And I think with the way everything's so fast paced, is that people a lot of times don't have, you know, they love to read, but they don't want to get drawn out to, you know, read on an airplane or something like that. And pitching it like that is that it won't be so long for a potential producer or somebody to read it, to really, you know, to get it, to look at it.
Yeah. No, and I agree. Like I just brought up the book that Total Recall was based on was a short story. Gosh, I think it's 50 pages or something. I know that Fractured Reality is what, around 60?
66.
66, yeah.
66, yeah.
So, I mean,
and
yeah.
So, yeah, yeah. So if people, you know, going, hey, man, I don't want to read 250 pounds. I don't know how good of a writer you are, but I'll read 66 pages. And when they do it, they're like, man, I'm wanting more of that. You know, that I wish it had kept going. So it gets your how good of writing you do, you know, and lets people to see it. And it wasn't such a daunting task of saying, man, I got to write two, you know, this long, you know, novel. You know, I wanted to get my work out there, you know, and it's, again, it's taking small steps. And the better I get at it, the better, you know, I'll, of course, better write longer. This one that I'm writing now is way longer than this. Yeah, so you get better at it, you know, it is. So that's what I did.
Well, I
think also, like, The Black Swan, I think, came off of a short story, the show The Black Swan.
Oh, I think you're right. And you know, you brought up Stephen King's Stand By Me was based on I believe is a short story called The Body. And look at the brilliance that came out of that. So there's a lot of
stuff. Stephen King wrote a lot of novellas, you know, short novels. But yeah, like Tommy told me, I said, Tommy, you think it's going to be long enough? He said, Craig, it doesn't matter the length of the story as long as it's a good story. You know, and I was like, yeah, you're right, man. If it's just a great story, because I've read some books that had a great storyline, but they drug it out so long that you just got bored of it, you know?
Yeah.
And so I figured, it doesn't matter if it's just a great story. It's a great story.
Yeah, I heard a term, and I'm probably going to botch some of the words in it, but SARSA. So it's a surprise, something reality. So getting some kind of reality so that people can connect, that it's not too far gone. You know, oftentimes that's in a, you know, emotions or physical states. You know, I think that you've presented an opportunity for some of those things to play out. I mean, hey, it's psychological. It's pretty, it's gnarly, you know, it's kind of, and you leave that good, okay, where the hell is this going to go? Content in there.
Right. Right. And it catches you totally off guard, you know, and that's the part I like. I don't want to give away too much of it again. You know, I keep kind of pushing you off, but I'm like, man, I'm
no, that's okay.
Yeah. But again, you know, I think it's just going to make an excellent movie, man, because I've seen movies that have kind of the same, not the same, but kind of like that. They've done excellent, you know, and I think this, and that's what people tell me, man, this would make a great movie, you know, a great film. Even Absolutely. Other people that are in the film industry know have told me that.
Absolutely.
And so I'm really excited. You know, I made that trailer, you know, because I was like, man, I don't think I've ever seen someone make a trailer for a book. You know, so I sat there and I made this trailer for the book, and it's got a lot of attention. It's made people really want to read it more because, you know, you've watched it. It's pretty, you know, it gets your attention.
Yeah, you know? It's really well done. I can't think of too many. The only other one I can really think of is Carlos's book, Knocking Doors Down. That side that inspired this here podcast, that there was very much so that put it out, but it does very much a different genre. So I'm going to plug that in for people right now to check it out.
Immerse yourself in the gripping psychological thriller, Fractured Realities, where we accompany Dr. Addie Hansen, a brilliant psychiatrist, as she finds herself ensnared in a web of mystery and suspense. Married to a constantly absent successful attorney, Addie seeks solace in an illicit affair. However, as her secret meetings intensify, Addie's life takes a sinister turn. Strange and bone-chilling events begin to unfold around her, leaving Addie questioning her sanity. Mysterious messages emerge out of nowhere, taunting her. Objects relocate when she's alone, and eerie whispers resonate throughout her desolate house. Could it be one of her disturbed patients seeking revenge for perceived slights? Or perhaps the man she's entangled in a dangerous affair with, or her own husband who might be harboring dark secrets? As Addie's world spirals into chaos, she finds herself trapped in a perilous game of cat and mouse. Every step she takes towards the truth uncovers shocking revelations about the people she thought she knew. And when the line between reality and delusion blurs, Addie must confront the horrifying possibility that her absent husband may be the puppet master behind it all. In Fractured Realities, author Craig Stille skillfully crafts a tale of psychological torment, gripping readers from the first page to the heart-stopping conclusion. Will Addie unearth the truth before it's too late? Or will the shadows of deception consume her sanity and her life? Prepare to be enthralled by this pulse-pounding thriller that will keep you on the edge of your seat until the very end.
Craig, man, shoot. What was the process of putting that trailer together?
It was an app I got, and I just worked with the app and sat there, and it took me some while to pick out the, you know, the videos and stuff I wanted to match with the narrator and everything going on, and pick what I had to put in there, what exactly I want said, you know? And so I came up with how I want it said, the pace, the actual, videos that was going to relate, so that not only would you have the hearing effect, you know, of hearing the story, but it would match the visual effect while you're watching it. You know, so I had all that put together, and I just thought it was a great thing. It's like a minute and 45 seconds. But I thought, instead of people just read, but a lot of people don't like to read, so I said, but they'll watch a video and it will explain the book. And, you know, it seemed to really work.
Yeah. Speaking of, I know that it's available now, paperback, Kindle, anywhere else that I'm missing?
No, right now it's paperback and Kindle, but I'm also about to work on the audio version of it.
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah, because people are like, is it audio? And I'm like, well, that's a little more work, because when you do it on Kindle and stuff, you have to try to get, you know, voiceovers, you know, and pick out who you want and stuff like that. So it's a little more complex, but I'm going to do it.
Yeah. Female reader for the audio book?
Yes, I think for this book, I think a female reader would be best to fit it. Yes, I do. Yeah. Because just the female psychiatrist and the storyline.
Yeah, it makes sense. I think it allows it to be more immersive for sure.
It does. Yeah, that was what I was thinking. Exactly.
Well, we'll have those links in the podcast description. Anything else you want to throw in here, my brother?
That's it, man. I just appreciate you having me back on, and I really enjoy our friendship. And I'm glad to hear about all the things you got going for you.
Oh, likewise. Thank you. And no, I want to really point out too, is that that's out of it all. I'm really grateful for that, because, you know, connectivity is such a huge, important thing, especially over the last, we went through a period of being told, don't be close to anybody. And so for me and my journey, you know, really, and I want to share, I'm getting chills under my sweatshirt here. You've become a vital part just by this simple offering every day of sending me, you know, some scripture and some things to challenge myself on in my thought process. And I'm incredibly grateful for that. I really am. I was telling someone how trippy. I said, I believe this also hits Evander Holyfield, is one of my favorite.
Evander sends them to me, then I send them out. Yeah. See? So if I'm ever late, it's not my fault. It's Evander's fault.
It's his fault.
Yeah.
Okay.
As soon as I get them, I send them out. So sometimes Evander's busy, and so I'll get them a little later, or if I get them on time. But so if you don't ever get one, or you don't get it, it's because of him.
Okay. So now I know.
Yeah.
That's funny. And just a weird way of how life can work. I recently spoke at a high school, and they were asking me, how did your life change? And I sat and I thought about it, and I said, don't take this as like me boasting or something, but in a weird way, I promises that I made to myself as a child somehow just magically came true. Like Charlie Sheen, one of my favorite actors, And I don't sit back on it and go, wow, yes, I'm more important because I talked to Charlie Sheen twice on a podcast. Hopefully those help people. But in a weird way, I was like, wow, I shared screen time with this guy. Well, that wouldn't have happened in sobriety. And the things right. that keep happening as I dig more and more into my faith that are magical, you know, that wouldn't have happened either. You know, one of them, my partner and I, she and I each sponsored our church does, I can't think of the name of the organization, but kids in impoverished areas. And we got this nice letter from the little girl that ended up choosing me as the sponsor. Oh, wow. And it's like, that happened through faith. That happened through God. Mm-hmm. That isn't me. You know, it's like $40 a month or something. And all the stuff that it helps this child with, it's right. all these beautiful things. And I think like you digging in beyond the challenges that were in front of you that have now become an advantage for you and doing mm-hmm. this kind of stuff, putting out this literature that maybe, you know, little kid Craig could have only dreamed of, but somehow you fulfilled that promise. And I think it's just, I don't have any words other than it's fucking awesome, brother.
Yeah. And you know, my thing is again with God, you know, I don't believe anything would be possible without him, because me knowing advance, you know, the whole story is that this wouldn't, anything would have happened unless I just did what God told me to do. And that's the honest to God truth. I mean, that is the truth, that I just did what he said for me to do at the time. And it just, and everything just started unfolding. That's all I can say. When people ask me, how do you know all these people friends? I'm like, it's got nothing to do with me. I just don't quit. You know, I I'm determined, but he makes it happen. And I'm telling you, there's no other way that what I've accomplished and the people that I know and stuff would not be for him. That's mm-hmm. the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Absolutely. Craig, thank you.
Man, thank you. I appreciate it, brother.